Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Come out, ye black and tans, come out and fight me like a man. Number one in the UK and Ireland. Hello, welcome to this week's Snugcast.
It has to be one of the greatest weeks in like Irish nationalism history. Like, yeah. 100 years after the black and tans burned down Cork City, come out, ye black and tans, number one in the UK charts.
Amazing. Right after, what was it? RIC commemoration got absolutely shot down.
Yeah. Shafted.
Anyway, look, the boys are here tonight. What an intro. The boys are here tonight in Grady's Yard in Waterford. It's myself and DJ as usual. Yep. And we're joined tonight by Tommy.
Hi, lads.
Tommy, what's this?
It's been a year since Tommy was on.
Yeah, I think it's about a year. Yeah,
it was January, yeah. It was the only episode we did in January last year.
Well, all those legal issues have been ironed out.
Yeah, it's
last
home.
Friday, yeah. Kicked out of the UK.
You actually started off the Comanche Black and Tan.
Yeah.
Big marketing. And we're also joined here by Ollie Sharp. Two weeks in a row.
Two podcasts.
It's been about a month since we've got this.
Fair enough. Happy New Year, Happy Christmas. So all that. Here, look, we'll give it a little Happy New Year's cheers. Good luck, lads.
That's lovely. Actually, I know, like, normally we go to what are you drinking tonight, but just looking there, my drink is actually kind of black and tan.
Jesus, very funny.
They wouldn't want to call it that now.
I think they've called it Red Noir, but they could have went for that. Actually, there's
Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
There's a Ben and Jerry's ice cream called the Black and Tan, isn't it?
No, it's called Bloody Sunday, or no? What?
That was a KFC or McDonald's. It was a fast food chain.
Did an ice cream. Was it or Portugal?
Portugal is
yes,
right.
Yes, it is.
The Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, it was an ice cream.
Yeah.
For like Halloween or something. Was it?
I presume it was like strawberry syrup and vanilla ice cream. It wasn't like a massacre in the pub in Derry or like people shooting up Croke Park. Just another reason why we shouldn't commemorate the Black and Tans or the RIC or the DNP.
Sure. Look, actually, let's go to that. Go to what are you drinking tonight?
So I'm drinking Red Noir.
Red Noir.
A Yellow Belly Classic Dark. It's a very dark red ale. Like, it literally does look black and tan in this line. It's really nice. It's just a good, strong red ale. It's like it's like Smittix, but with a bigger kick to it. A maltier kick. Yeah. And I think Smittix is like 3.9%. I think this is 4%. It's in around the same percentage as well.
Yeah.
It's good, it's lovely actually, yeah. Nice January drink.
I love that red ale we had up in Costello's.
That was incredible.
That was very nice. Yeah.
That was incredible. Costello's.
It's their brewery in Kilkenny.
Oh yeah.
Well, Jesus,
they hosted the Kilkenny Beer Festival last year. They hosted every year, and they had a soap and they had a red ale, fucking delicious, really, really good. There's some good red ales out there. Some really good red ales out there. Red.
They're big enough, I suppose.
A really good, yeah, but it's a tasty drink. Yellow Belly, they had it out. It was one of their staples for a long while. And then they actually weren't doing it for a little bit, but it's back out now. Michal here is telling me they have 10 kegs out the back, so.
Amongst like our group of friends, it's kind of been a resurgence of Smittix, like, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Like, you never would have, like, during college and growing up and stuff, like, you would never have heard anyone drinking Smittix.
We're getting old now, though, and it's a real old man's drink.
Yeah. Sitting by the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it in, is it J&K Welch's where they have, is it Smittix with the Guinness head? Or the,
Spinach with a Guinness head. We had that on an episode that we deleted.
Did we?
Rightfully.
Legal issues again.
And you weren't even there that night.
No. Same lawyer though.
Yeah. We got a 2-for-1 deal.
So, Owen, what are you drinking yourself?
No, we go the other way around. Ollie, what are you drinking?
Ah, he's taking control. I love it.
The snooze button again. 2 weeks in a row, apparently. it's still caramelly and still pretty tasty from the last time I had it. So I said I'd stick with it and enjoy it.
Safe after.
More stout season. So until we start hitting the summer now or spring, I won't be moving.
Good stuff. Yeah. Tommy, you're on the glue shawl.
Yeah, I'm on Meisel's Weiss. It's grand.
What is it? Meisel's Weiss.
Weiss.
All right, alcohol free.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And what's it like?
It's grand, yeah. At the start, it was horrible, but.
Throwing on him.
Yeah, I was drinking and eating kind of very quickly, so I'm kind of settled now, so.
Yeah. All right. That should be their tagline.
Yeah.
Wrong at the start, but once you get over that.
It's a grower, not a shower.
And I am on a lovely, beautiful glass of water. Pint of water, I suppose.
You're driving tonight.
I'm also driving tonight. But I'm not only driving tonight, I'm also partaking for the first year ever in Dry January.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know. I'm getting looks here now.
No, look, fair play to you. Like, actually, this is my second pint of the year. The pint before is my first pint of the year as well. I haven't made it a third of the way through, I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah.
How are you finding it?
I was actually fine. I was fine until we came in here tonight. And then, as soon as we came in here, we said it loads of times on the podcast before that this place is one of the most inviting openings to a bar ever, where you come in and you're hit with 20 taps or something.
Here in Grady's Yard.
In Grady's Yard, yeah. Where you're just, you come in and you see all those colours and those taps right in front of you, and you're drawn to it. And I remember saying as well, like, it is that thing of like, whoa, what will I have tonight here? And you go along and you're like, each of the taps is like a menu, and you're going along, you're choosing. And I got that little surge of energy when I came in of like, fuck, what will I have tonight? And then
the back of your palate was like fucking dancing.
I know it was.
But your look, like, in fairness, we'll probably come on to Dry January and those kind of things a bit more in detail later on. But I will say, like, I suppose it probably depends a lot on how much you had to drink over Christmas as well.
Yeah. So, look, we'll start that topic, right?
Well, we'll kick into it, sorry.
Kick it into it, right? So, just the first topic of the night is, we'll say Dry January 1st. We're going to link it into another thing anyway, but Dry January 1st. Has anybody else here ever done Dry January?
No.
No.
I thought about it, but no.
Yeah.
I think...
Your sense.
Yeah.
I inadvertently nearly did it 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, I was sick, and I spent about 3 or 4 weeks, like, bad, like, not great, and I inadvertently nearly just accidentally didn't do it, and then I think, like, once I felt fine again, I just went on a raz.
Yeah.
But that wasn't intentional.
So, I'll tell you the reason, I suppose, I'm doing it this year is that I had an absolutely horrific Christmas on the pints, like, I was out. I'd say everybody was, but like, I did the absolute dog on it, like, over Christmas, out every single night, and like, pints and pints and pints, and like, just body just felt absolutely horrendous there. on the 31st. Like, I could barely stay awake for a New Year's Eve. Like, my body was like shutting down. Like, and it just needed to. So I was saying that. But also another reason, like, don't get me wrong, I would go on the piss out this month. Like, you know, you could have a week off and be feeling grand. Like, I'm feeling grand now. Like, I'll get straight back on it. But also, what's happened every other year is that I've had an event or something on in January that, like, I've just been like, gosh, there's no point in doing it because I'm definitely going to be drinking at that 30th or that, like, that birthday or going skiing or whatever. Like, I've just, like, I've always had something on there that I'm always like, ah, look, there's no point in doing it. Like, you know, literally just throwing in the towel before you even go for it. But, like, but this year we have Darren's stag in end of February, like, you know.
And we'll have to build up to that, like.
I mean, I have to definitely.
Jesus.
But, yeah, like, I think, like, this year it has fallen well for me to actually give the lash, like. So, here we are, the, what, 9th of January?
Recording on the
9th of January, it is 8:15.
But you're retarded, like, you're retarded the way there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, by the middle of next week, you'd be halfway there.
Yeah.
It's just the weekends as well, like, do you know what I mean? If you get over it.
That's
dry weekend, dry Saturday night.
It's funny though, I don't tend to drink too much at the weekends.
Really?
Yeah, normally doing something with herself, like, is go for a few pints on a Thursday and do a few bits.
Yeah.
But that being said, actually, that's probably a lie. I probably tell myself I don't, and I end up, like, going for pints with Nia's dad most weekends.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, but, yeah, it's...
It's actually funny, so, Kira's, there's two of Kira's friends, Maureen and Andy, he's a Kiwi and she's from Kerry, but so they're going out and they're up in, they're living up in Dublin, but they're like, oh, must have them down to the house and whatever. So I was there, like, as soon as she said, like, we have them down to the house, and I said, what weekend? She goes, oh, I was thinking they're the 25th of January. I was like, are you serious? Are you fucking sick? Like, I can't. I was like,
kicking off in the house, like,
every time,
smashing windows.
Yeah. Every time we go out with them, like, it is
pure,
like, yeah, like,
you'll barely make it upstairs if you go over.
Yeah. I'm not
trying the neighbour's door, like,
I'm not saying that, like, you know, you'll succumb to the pressure on the 25th, but at the same time, too, like, 25 days isn't too bad.
No, but so Kira came back, she was like, actually, they're on the dry as well, and they're going to be driving down and driving back up, so we're just going to do a hike or some shot. Like, what's a sober activity? Like,
a hike's a good thing to do, though, isn't it? Like,
is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's course.
Yeah. Walk, I don't know.
Flask of tea with you or something. Like.
You could do that, yeah.
What do you do, like?
Wanker Central.
We could get lunch in the Happy Pair then.
We started.
Again, deja vu. Is this January 2019 again? The thing with that though is I actually see Brizzy tweeting today about. it came up my timeline before you start on him. It came up my timeline. Today that he tweeted about there's a lack of cafes in Dublin.
Yeah.
No, part of me wanted to turn around and reply back to him saying, like, try fucking going to any other part of the country outside the M50, like. But I suppose what he was trying to get at was, what do you do if you're not drinking? Like,
isn't there sober bar, like,
there is a zero pub, basically.
The Virgin Mary.
Yeah. Won some awards, I think, for its cocktails.
Yeah. You think though, like, that
mocktails.
Yeah. You think though that, like, a really successful bar would be if they, like, pushed both, like, half and half, like, you know, had a huge, like, non-alcoholic menu, like, made it, like, as prominent or, you know, pushed it as much, like, so that you could have a good mix, like, you know, because otherwise you have a pub full of sober people.
Yeah.
Do you know what else you can do, though?
No one talking to each other.
Saying the rosary. Yeah.
But you can just have the two pubs side by side and a swinging door between them, so, like, someone could sneak off and have a few alcoholic cocktails and come back to their sober mates.
Yeah, bit, yeah.
You'd be carried home from the Virgin Mary. I'm always intrigued by Dry January because it's kind of like, it's one of the bleakest months, so I can see why people don't want to drink, because obviously alcohol is present and stuff, but
a lot of people are skint after Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like a to different month, but you know, it's you know, cut back on everything.
I suppose
that's the thing I hate about January is when people go absolutely ballistic on everything, right? And they go, well, I'm going to the gym every single morning, I'm going to eat vegan only, I'm not going to drink, and they go way too much, and then you just have complete crash out there.
Yeah, the 1st of February. The
1st of February is gone, yeah.
Spend St. Bridges Day on the cocaine and heroin.
Yeah. The curry chips.
Yeah. Well, I've everything kebab, please.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that mentality of mine.
It's not realistic. Like,
it's not realistic. It's not maintainable.
It's not healthy either.
Too many self-help books at Christmas. Yeah. Tony Robbins in the stocking or whatever. Like.
Or fucking speaking to your mate, Brezzy. Yeah. Did you ever try and listen to his mindfulness podcast?
I threw
the first one on just to kind of see what it was about, and it was this mad layout where it was him talking really fast with like street traffic noises in the background, and I was kind of like, surely if you're trying to be
anxiety,
I was getting a complete fear like just listening to this show, because he was talking 100 mile an hour and he was talking about slowing your day down, but he was doing it really fast with a load of like traffic. Yeah. It's like he was in fucking Manhattan or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a little shite, to be honest. Didn't work at all of me.
I think a lot of those celebs now are finding these like meditation, like, I don't know, whatever.
Gurus.
But like they're trying, a talk through or whatever.
Well, sure, like, to
a
be
meditation
fair, like,
session, like, just doing like a podcast or something like that.
They're not going to try a podcast out of a pub though, because that's like that's aced already. Like
that's taken.
That market is.
If anyone does,
we have the lawyers.
Yeah. The right. Next pub you're buying in won't have any furniture. It'll be bought by a certain auctioneers.
So right, to move on from dry January, the
Ollie, what are you? Your thoughts?
Sorry.
What are your thoughts on dry January?
I don't know, I'm not partaking, but I'm doing dry January of sorts.
Crisps.
Like, fizzy drinks. Pretty much, I'm doing like
an early Lent.
But I'm actually trying to do it instead of fucking not in anything for Lent. So I said, like, Christmas is just full of shit, really, and feeling shit. And so I was like, you know what, this month now I'll just try and cut back on all processed foods and eat healthier and exercise more and just kind
of. I was going to say.
Yeah, but me all now put his, you know, heart and soul into it. And it's all good ingredients, so I suppose, you know.
Tub of mayonnaise is empty.
No, the odd guilty pleasure's allowed, but.
Like snooze button is plant based, isn't it? Like?
Absolutely, like it's just it's clean, healthy drinking.
Point.
I don't know. It's just not sustainable doing it anyway. It just doesn't.
No, you're not going to live like that. Like,
no, you're not. But like,
what's the point in, like, I don't know, doing it for?
But like, I made my positive lifestyle changes recently in November. Mm. It was grand, like. Mm, so I've just maintained going to the gym.
Why don't do it then? Or
that's like, I don't need. I don't need a change of a year to fucking do it.
Yeah, but some people do. Some people think that, you know, like new year, new start. Now it mightn't last fucking the whole year or ever. It might only last 3 weeks, but. I think that everyone bashing a new year as a new start is bollocks, really, because someone needs to start somewhere. If a new year means they have to maybe change their lifestyle, go to the gym, everyone should be supporting those.
But I suppose the thing is, if you're coming at it from that angle, I don't know, like, it's this sustainability thing, whereas, like, I basically caught myself in a mirror out the corner of my eye in November. It's like, fuck this now. Like, you've literally spent your 20s putting on weight.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, just calm down on the grub a bit and go to the gym.
Again, the corner you turned was cashing yourself in the mirror. What if 1st of January, so fucking... You know,
no, I think people do see the new year as a new start, but what we're saying is you just have to realistically change your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
I want to eat healthier. Yeah. I can have a cheat meal, or I'm going to fall off the wagon every now and again, but I'm just going to try and maintain healthiness, and I'm going to go to the gym once a week even, or whatever, and just maintain that.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, improve your lifestyle by just changing small things and over a course of fucking two months,
it takes 21 days to form a habit. That's what this apparent all the psychologists say. 21 days is when you reset your mindset. So, like, I suppose, like, if you're doing a dry January or a cleanse in January, grand, it's 31 days. But I suppose the problem is then is if you go and say February, then the problem you have then is February people blow off with the steam. Then all of a sudden March, like, you've got Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
Before you know it,
come here. I'm not saying now that
you're on the Raz for Easter Monday.
January,
good. The pubs are open on Good Friday. Yeah. Like.
But, like, do you know, it's the bashing of New Year resolutions is bullshit. Really,
I think we
like,
bashed New Year's resolutions last year as well, though.
But
this is our annual resolution. I'm having a flashback. We had Tommy on last year. We bashed a happy pair of vegans and New Year's resolutions.
Brezzy by the chance.
That was a great episode.
I thought that was going.
Yeah. Actually, we called that episode Hitler's favorite beer, so it's always going to be a good one. Like.
Yeah.
People deserve to have their if this is what they need to make a change, and if it doesn't last, it doesn't last. That's their problem. It doesn't fall on anyone else. But
yeah,
us sitting here around the table fucking after having greasy grub and saying, you know what, the one there that fucking decided that January was the month she's going to go to the gym and she lasts 3 weeks, why should we fucking
you're right in a sense, but I'm just saying
just because yours is in November
but I think if you're saying it's 2020 now, I'm going to cop on. It's the sustainability about it. Like, there's no point in doing a dry January, a cleansing January, and then going back to your old habits in February.
I totally agree with you. I think if you're going to set a goal for yourself, you should follow it.
It's almost like you're going from one extreme to another.
Whereas
I think what you're saying, the small steps thing is the
everything
approach to
like
take.
Cutting out, like going home at fucking 11 o'clock after having points versus going home at 3, or you know, eating well 4 or 5 nights of the week and then getting you know what I mean?
There's balls where you spend November and December going into a gym, and then when you go on to log into a class in the app, it's booked out for the next week.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the thing.
Because they say gym wise anyway, everything returns to normal levels in March. Like you're saying, all that flux is
gone. The usuals are back in there.
All the usuals,
The only thing I'd say about the gyms as well, though, like that kind of whole sphere of people like going hell for leather in a gym and doing boot camps and stuff in January and cleanses as well, is I think part of the issue with the sustainability is people go off then and do these like hell camp and boot camp and to hell and back.
Yeah.
When like they've been through the Christmas period, their body probably has more toxins in it than it has at any other stage of the year.
Yeah.
And actually, it's probably the worst thing to do it from a like survival point of view, a sustainability point of view. Whereas actually, I find as well, I know a lot of people that say like they'd go to fucking a gym, Miami Hall, and they'd have go to some sort of boot camp, which is probably extreme. So they have a real negative experience in the gym then, and they have these negative connotations about it. And then they're like, "Fuck this! I'm giving this up. I'm never going to a gym again." Whereas actually, like, I throughout my course of like playing sports and going to gyms and stuff like that, I found like just like in every walk of life, like there's great pubs and bad pubs, there's great gyms and really bad gyms, there's great instructors and really bad instructors. So like if someone's there and they're like, "Fucking this gym is shit, your man keeps bollocking me out of it, and that's not what I need,"
yeah,
and I'm aching and I'm fucking sweating and miserable,
I'm just gonna quit. Like,
but that just suits some people.
Yeah.
Some people might say I actually need to kick the shit out of me here to get me going. Like.
But as well, like people in January sign up to these 12-month memberships, and I'm like, you know,
do a month and then
do a pay as you go. And if you
don't waste 300 quid
somewhere else,
realistically, there's a very good chance you might be finished after
back
6 weeks.
Celebrations in 6 weeks.
Do you know what I mean?
6 days.
Yeah, there's definitely like a level of like people just need to wise up and just, you know, be realistic. Like, they're not going to carry on this lifestyle of 5 or 6 trainings a week in gyms and then eating fucking salads. You're going to be broke up after like a month. You know, eating salads and not getting the proper carbohydrates and nutrients you need.
Your body be shocked. Like,
it would.
You know, if you've done no exercise at all for months,
exactly.
Then you go, right, I'm
exactly.
Hell for leather.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Fucking, like your body fucking break out.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Anyway, right. So, Portleash Pub Club kind of started a hashtag. I think they started it, did they?
I don't know if he started it, but...
Anyway, he's
what is it?
Oh, it's Portleash Pub Club. Is this fella Peter Breen, who lives in Portleash? He set up this pub club where it's like trying to get people to go to... Basically, like, my missus is from Leash, and the social scene in Leash is great, like... So he's trying to encourage like people to go out and go
socialize, go to a pub,
and then he's trying to encourage like people to drink local beers and locally produced beers So like there's actually some really good breweries in Laois, and he's going around to the pubs then and he's trying to do this thing like wherever you are, go in and ask for your local brewery's beer, and then if people keep asking for them, then it'll be stocked and all this kind of stuff.
So this January he's gonna doing a larger, I suppose, promotion, and the hashtag around it is Tri-Annuary. So basically it's along those lines of going into your local pub and asking to try local pints and, you know, getting like
try something new
and like basically support local. And I think it's a good idea, like, you know,
it's really good, it's a good idea with like not even drinking but everything else, like, you know, try different foods and try different fucking
put yourself out there.
Try different gyms if you want gym of shit.
Yeah, because I think like, well, definitely on the beer front anyway, like it's like to do with like tap space, isn't it? Like beer that, like, you know, as in, you know, even if like there's a, like, you have your mainstream beers that are taking up say 4 year taps or whatever, and you have two or whatever left over, that, like, you know, if you're like, you could have maybe like Foster's or something there instead or whatever, you know, or I don't know, some other, maybe a German beer or something like that. But like, you know, if you keep kind of asking for local beers, then you tend to try and bring them in, like, you know. And even I suppose like it doesn't cost them anything to that much, like, have stuff in the fridge as well. Yeah. So
Tommy, you're not long back from London. What's the, like, In your experience, was there much craft beer scene going on in London, or did you come across it, or was it like visible, or?
No, I kind of found it hard to get craft beer, because I don't know, if you find the UK, that you find that obviously that a lot of the bigger breweries run a lot of the pubs.
Yeah,
so that like they are your landlord in a sense, so they're kind of,
you're beholden to them, right?
So their kind of hands are held. So you have to go to fucking hipster central like Shoreditch and pay a bit above what you want to pay for a craft beer, which I suppose is wrong. But I think in kind of places that we went to, if in Bristol, like, it was a decent craft beer,
yeah.
Or at Manchester, quite good for craft beer.
Yeah.
Or at Liverpool, well, my experience, we didn't go for very cultural weekends, so.
yeah.
We were drinking whatever.
I think a lot of the, with Liverpool, certainly, like, I've been to Liverpool a good bit, and there's actually a craft beer village on the outskirts of Liverpool city, out towards Toxet, towards South Liverpool, and it's, oh, what's the fucking name of it? We were there, were we? No, we weren't. No. I was there last year actually, a couple of times. There's like a live event center called On Air, and there's like small little craft beer innovations. There was a craft brewery there like 100 years ago, like a small scale place, and they've kind of kept the essence of it going. But yeah, if I'm in Liverpool, you kind of have to go to that specific center. It's like a little hipster place, all right, in order to get your craft beer. And if you're on like a pub crawl in the city center, like, you're a good bit out for that. Like, you're about a 15 minute walk down from the Albert Dock to even get near it, like. So yeah, I suppose that's, the UK is probably, like you say, mainly dominated. Like, Wetherspoons would be holding a pub there. And
I find in Ireland, though, like, more and more, there's even more of a local pub, especially in the southeast. You're going to get one, one craft beer on tap.
Like, even like local. Metal Man.
That's very big.
Good outreach.
Yeah.
I think not a great point,
but, like, you know, in general, quite good. Like,
well, it depends what point it is, I think. Like, I think their pale ale can be hit and miss some places, but some of their others,
is pretty
others,
good.
Equinox.
Calypso is tasty, We actually got, we had our staff party there probably 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and Metal Man rocked up to the door with two cases of like an Indian dark ale or something, and Calypso. And we had him on the bus going, we actually went to the Vicky.
The Windjammer, was it?
No. Oh, it could have been. Anyway, it was an Indian ale or something like that, and we had Calypso, and to be fair, Calypso was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really, really tasty. And the case was gone in fucking half an hour, like, while we were, you know.
You know, in the UK, do they have? They kind of have like a kind of an old school craft thing with like bitters and stuff, don't they?
Yeah,
like,
they have the thing, the campaign for real ale.
So
I went to it a few times, and it's the Ealing Beer Festival. So they go around like every every kind of area has its own branch.
Did you ever meet Peter Crouch at it? He's from Ealing.
He's
from Ealing, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. You wouldn't miss him, anyway.
Yeah, no. Well, it's funny when we rocked in, like, it's really cheap as well, and a lot of beers are quite strong. But all the barmen, I was like, I said to my friends, like, why is the average age of all the barmen about 75 plus? But they all are part of the association. So they all just volunteer and serve the pints.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just a...
That's mad, yeah.
A love of the pints.
And... Like, are they...
That'd be awesome, 50 years.
Are they then, like, local breweries? Is it, like, then that?
Yeah, but, like, that was breweries from all over the UK, but small.
Small, So, yeah, I suppose there is kind of a... It's just a different... like, I wouldn't say... There's not that same... like, a lot of the craft breweries in Ireland do a lot of canning and bottling of beers, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then... have, you know, I don't actually think taps are as big a deal for a lot of them. A lot of them go for like cans in fridges and like off licenses and stuff like that. Like
the market of drinking at home in Ireland is huge.
Yeah.
So obviously they have to exploit the market where like they can, you know, survive. So it's just canning, like, you know, the selection in Arkeen and selection of Worldwide Wines is quite good for cans and bottles of craft beer. So obviously they've seen that maybe taps, like, or even in places like Great.
But the other thing as well is like Molson Coors and Diageo put a lot of pressure on pubs to similar to what you're saying about the UK, Tommy, there, like, they put an awful lot of pressure on like rural pubs to
also pay money for people to have their produce.
Yeah,
you know, Heineken pay a premium to have Heineken, Coors, Orchard Thieves, Moretti in the first taps you have, we have like a set of taps and we have those, and then in the back we have Carlsberg and Hoppus because they're not Heineken products, not paying the money, do you know?
Do you know what I hate is those fucking pump yokes and those pump fucking
pump pulls.
It must be some pain for the
barman. He must have some arms on it. You know, in the UK when they pull a pint, they have to go like.
What's your man, the comedian? Adam Murray, is it?
Adam Murray, yeah.
Back in the fucking.
Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Terrible.
I'm going to segue a bit. I'm going to ask a random question to Salty, right?
Yeah,
come on. Trianuary. I won't be an alcohol related one, a food one.
Mm.
Right, Ollie, I'll go to you first. Is there any food you haven't eaten that you'd love to try? If you could be offered it up here now for Trianuary.
I'd say maybe, like, I've obviously eaten them before, but I'd like to put maybe mushrooms into more of my dinners during the week. I'd usually fucking find the mushroom out and flick it away to the side, so it's like, you know, in a steak sandwich now, lovely, but if it was in a bolognese, I'd try and sniff them out and get rid of them. Yeah, I would. So it's like
texture
something
thing,
like that. I was going to say, is that a texture thing?
Cause I think so.
Yeah, it's
Like, they're great in food, and I think they really do add stuff, so I'd like to...
Great source of vitamin B.
Yeah. Mm. So that's only just a small thing that I'd kind of like to...
Yeah, do you want to try more mushrooms?
Yeah, basically. In all sorts of sense.
So you'd be once going to truffles.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah, I don't like... As you may know, like, I'd actually eat anything, like, you know, like, I don't say no to it. Even if it's bad for me or out of date
when we were over in Japan there for World Cup, Tommy got very into skewers, like chicken skewers. But he used to be buying them like from the not the most
reputable places.
I got chicken cartilage one night.
Chicken cartilage.
Oh, I was chewing it.
Oh,
and you knew
like
you were
that,
buying
man.
It as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was labelled as like chicken.
Fooled me once.
The fucking Japanese, mate, they get you.
I'd fried an eel.
Oh,
yeah. Tempura, that was wicked. That was rotten. I don't know.
Say that was a bad texture, now.
Yeah, it was six a dog.
Like a slippery mushroom with steroids.
I don't know, I'd like to maybe try more, or maybe this year, as in, I went off meat, but now I love meat again. Maybe, like, I'm going to try game more, like duck and.
Pheasant supposedly, when done properly, is like one of the best meats. Like
a bit of pigeon.
Like
you catch a pigeon on my way home.
the fucking drones. Air rifle out now.
Get a net or
plenty
something.
Plenty practice.
Yeah. She's surely get a pigeon delivered by your man with the drone business.
Yeah.
Owen, what you liking?
I think I'd like to go and go like try some like seafood that I haven't tasted. Like I always love, seafood like when I actually have it. But I'm very
apprehensive to food.
Yeah, when it's just like on a menu and so, like especially when like you go to a restaurant and there's like beef or lamb or something on the menu and you're like, oh fuck, that's so good. And then they have like trout or something and you're like, trout just sounds like a bad
but you're not passing
trout is lovely, like,
the, the problem I have with trout is anytime I order I think about ordering trout, I just get the trout of no crack by going by and I'm gonna be eating the trout of no crack. I'm a big fan of seafood. Like I've tried most of it, and I love like
all fucking
in the ocean.
4 million species in the ocean.
That's one of the stupidest things I've ever said. But like, do you know what the stuff that you'll see come across on menus? Yeah.
Actually, when we were in Japan, I would have loved to try that. Unagi, is it?
The Homer Simpson fish.
Yeah, the dead fish. Yeah. So like, you know, it's that one. If you've ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where
his face is on the
fucking washing machine counter.
No, that's a different episode. That's when he goes to Japan. This is they go to a sushi restaurant, and Homer's like, he falls in love with this restaurant. Yeah. He goes back every night, and he's like, ooh, what haven't I tried yet? And
then unagi.
Then the last one is like this unagi, and it's basically it's a blowfish, like, but it's poisonous. And then like, you know, they have like, it's like a diagram in The Simpsons where like, you know, fucking 9/10 of the thing are like poisonous, and there's like one sliver that like, so it has to be like prepared by an expert chef, like, you know.
Your
so,
man is sweating cutting it up. And
but they were serving it in Japan, weren't they? But
it's only certain
I think it was like,
I think for a chef to cook it, you have to do a course and everything, like, you do a search, because certain people die every year.
Fuck!
There's
So you were in?
Yeah.
You lost the balls and
There's water buffalo steaks now you can buy in Arcane stores.
What?
Yeah, wow. I've never eaten water, so I keep saying to myself, we need to try these. So I must do. But I think with the whole plant-based like move that's happening worldwide as well, there's a lot of like plant-based foods that I just have never tried, never thought of trying. So I'd love to try some of those dishes just to see what they're like. But I've no interest in any of this corn shite.
Oh,
cheese.
Why would you have a meat substitute?
I think as well, like, there's so many like protein sources that you can get, like chickpeas, lentils, and all this kind of crap, like, that you can get adequate protein in your diet without. The other thing as well is, if you ever look on the back of a packet of it, like, do you know when you look at like chemical hazard warnings, If
toxic to skin.
If a doctor came to you with a syringe and it had those warning labels on him, and he was like, this will only prick for a second, like, you'd be like, fuck off, let me out of here. Do you know? But I'd love to try some more plants as well.
I have a recommendation, right? So I hate tofu, I think it's fucking tasteless and don't like it, right? But there's a tofu derivative that's called tempeh, and it's like big in Indonesia, but they sell it in like, I think Tesco or something now. It's like, I can't remember what the brand is called, but tempeh, T-E-M-P-E-H, and it's like this kind of like crunchy tofu, like, but it's like real, it's real like crunchy, and you can like just fry it and like put it in, and it's fucking so good. So that is my recommendation for this week.
And of course, you can never eat enough halloumi.
No. Halloumi.
Top notch.
So we're kind of running low on points there now, so we'll take a...
We'll take a quick little break.
Quick little break.
And top off. Right. You might hear a word from a sponsor.
I won't. Right, so me and Darren had a game of squash around there today.
Yeah.
Playing up in De La Salle Sports Hall. We got
a fine competitive game.
Really awesome. So,
how does squash work in terms of the scoring?
So it's first to 21, you have to win by two. But you can only score if you have serve. So basically,
you have to win serve back, like to be able to score a point.
Yeah. So say like it could be like you could have about like 6 or 7 points go and still be the same score because you're just after swapping serves. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah. Like the games are
that's seriously tough. Our first
game we played today was 4-1 for about 10 minutes straight.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Just kept losing serve like.
It's brilliant.
You can't lose a point on your first serve.
When you're on serve, you can't lose a point.
How does the serve alternate?
Oh no! Like if you no, no like you have serve. Once you win serve, you're on serve until you lose a point, and then the other person doesn't gain a point, but they gain serve, and then they can win points. Like if you take a serve, we don't play second serves. Like so, if you take a serve and it's out, you're basically abdicate. I watched the Crown a few weeks ago. Know your enemy.
We'll let the Brit in.
Keep your friends close, man.
But yeah, okay. So actually, really enjoyed. Like we were playing very, very casually.
Good one.
Well, not gonna want to say good one, but
it's 2-1.
2-1.
I probably hit the better shots too.
Probably, yeah. Darren was playing on one long, that's how you want.
That's the most competitive we've been all day. Like during the actual game, we were fine with each other.
Yeah.
Apart from when you decapitated me with the ball.
Oh yeah, I just went in the fucking
neck. Got right in the fucking neck. Like I'll wake up in the morning with a fucking hickey from a squash ball. Actually, you could feel it.
To Niamh, if we were playing squash. It was a game of squash. But anyway, we were playing, I'd say, for about an hour and a half. We took a break after each game.
Because you'd fucking want to.
It was about a half an hour a game. And then, took a break or whatever for, five minutes between each and a bit of reiteration. But
Stormophilia. Before Stormophilia was the last time we played.
Yeah. But I get a good feeling when I play five aside. But I got a really, really good feeling there today. Like it's just fucking, you're just sprinting. Like it's all kind of short bursts of sprinting. Like you know, because like balls are fucking flying around the place, and like you're like smashing at the walls and smashing off the glass, and like you know, stretching and sliding. Like there's loads of movement, and I don't know, I just really liked it.
But I think as well, like even when you play five aside, like we play five aside, it's like either six aside on a fairly small pitch or it's like fucking 8-a-side or 9-a-side on a bigger pitch. And I find as well with the squash, like you're constantly involved.
Or
sometimes with 5-a-side, like if you've gone goal in 5-a-side in 10 minutes, like it's fucking snooze central. Or sometimes you could go a 5-6 minute period in the game 5-a-side not touching the ball.
You know? Especially, and then like if the teams are unbalanced and things like that, like it can be anyway. But anyway, this is kind of, we're kind of veering off topic here, kind of staying on topic as well. But we were talking earlier on how like my attitude anyway has definitely moved to these kind of like more casual sports, and I think like I definitely would kind of get more involved in these casual sports. I think I enjoy them more. But we're saying like, what are the pros and cons really of competitive, team-based or individual, like you know, if they're really competitive sports versus like these kind of casual ones. So I'll go to you first, DJ there.
I'd like to get the lad's take on this, because like my remark to you earlier was I found underage or playing with your mates in school and stuff in a team, and it's all together, but it's all your pals as well, like, you know. And then once you, people drop off at different ages, and if you make the transition into adult sport, whether it's with a hurling team, a football team, a soccer team, whatever it is, if you're part of a team sport, you're mixed in with people then that, like, yeah, you'll know because they've been around the club or whatever, so you'll half know. But you don't have that bond or connection with them that you have with your mates.
Because they're the same age. Like, you know, this age group the whole way up.
But you're literally, like, you're going to school in the morning and you might be playing the same sport in school with the lads.
Yeah.
And then you're going training with them at the club and going playing matches and going off to play blitzes at a weekend together. You're getting fucking, you're going on a bus singing, having a sing song together. So you're really, like, you're with all your buddies. And then all of a sudden you turn 18, 19 and you're going off to play a match 2 hours away, and you have to drive to it with one other person in the car. You come into a dressing room with lads 10, 15 years older than you.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to I find it's hard to connect to them, and then they'd be like, oh, I played with your father, or yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not your uncle, like, yeah. You're kind of like, what the fuck am I doing here, like, yeah. And like they're talking to you about their kids while they like try their balls like in your face, your face, and you're like fucking looking to go off and go out for the night, you know. I just think,
yeah,
with team sports, the transition from being a juvenile player to an adult player is really difficult. Like,
for it's me, huge. And
whereas like you still tend to play five-a-side with your mates, mm, or like squash, yeah, you go play a game of squash with your buddies, like, yeah, or tennis or whatever your fucking whatever your tonic is, like,
yeah,
tiddlywinks.
Yeah, no. I was
what do you reckon, lads?
Well, I know, like, going from minor to junior intermediate.
Sure, what, 21?
I'm 21 now, yeah, but, like, definitely.
So you're going in, you're done that.
Yeah, so definitely when I went from minor at 18 to playing junior and on intermediate panels, like, and playing junior hurling, yeah, and, like, Paul Powerson playing, and he won a Munster Club with my uncle, and he's going, come here now, myself and your uncle had this kind of understanding where he, you know, like, when I'm going, like, fuck, like, he's 42, yeah, or 3, like, this fella is old.
Different generation, man.
Completely different, yeah, and, like, some of these lads, like, you know, like, what a fucking, went out and played with him, and, you know, like, I'm fucking playing with some fossils here, basically, like, you know,
fuck,
I am, like,
sure, there's a Paul Brewer.
This is how it feels, yeah, like, I look at my uncle, and he's youthful, but at the same time, if he runs for too long, he fucking keels over,
yeah,
you know, and these lads are here running, and they're, you know, they still have all the technical hurling, but they just can't, yeah, do the running necessary,
yeah,
and like I'm the fucking new nippy fella coming in corner forward and playing against corner backs, and all they know is
fucking cut the legs off,
if he won't run around to the next side if you, yeah, if you hit him, like,
yeah,
and like this is what they live by, and you know, I talked to my uncle at the time, I was like, Jesus, what do you think of Mossy, and he goes, fucking stay away from him, buddy. Jesus, you won't play again if you keep marching him.
Fucking
you know, like, that's not even a threat, it's just it's a fact shit, you know. But yeah, as you said, moving from that age, and then like, you know, like, you're not like some of, like, obviously people on my team went straight to senior and were on the panel and were coming on in league games,
yeah,
you can only be happy for them because they weren't the best hurlers we had. But then, you know, some went to intermediate and got their game, and some didn't, and some went to, yes, junior, and that was that. And then you see, like, again, there was like lads that when I was in junior infants were my like buddies in sixth class, like, in like Gary Banbrick, shout out to him, was fucking like one of the lads on the junior team who thankfully was one of the people that came over and was like, geez, I remember you when you were a little pup,
yeah,
basically, when you were 4 or 5 years old. I'll take you here now and we'll have, like, you know, I'll get you through it, and but this is the lad, you know, these are the lads, whatever. But again, if I didn't have Bambi at the time,
yeah,
it would have been,
it's
a totally
that transition,
different scenario,
yeah,
going into a dressing room with men, like, I'm,
yeah,
at 18, you're still a child, you're still learning about everything.
Yeah.
And
but
then you go into men and they're 30, yeah, to 45, and, you know, yeah, and in rural clubs they could be even older than that jump. So, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a huge transition from juvenile hurling. Even at 18, you think you're probably fucking, you do think you know, yeah, everything. And then you're coming up against lads that have Munster club medals and 6 or 7 county medals, and you're kind of going, like, I'm going to fucking do this well, and
yeah,
you don't get a ball off.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I totally agree, because I think from a child all the way upwards, you're doing it to fit in with the lads. And
yeah,
by the time you actually fit in and you are one of the lads, then you've moved to playing,
exactly,
in junior,
yeah,
B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Mossy's taking your leg off.
He is, yeah.
And,
no,
it's, you know, like, and
just,
that's,
you both don't like Mossy.
No, jeez, I don't want to meet Mossy. I don't think you would like to meet Mossy. Do you? But like, and this is probably a different topic altogether. Well, like, as in, it's a topic in its own, but that's why so many people think in terms of lads are getting, well, one, that they're leaving, that they're stopped playing GAA,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
quick,
yeah,
so early. I know some is obviously the training, but
yeah,
they're not fitting in, there's, you know, it's, I think there's a lot to do with that.
Not getting the dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Not being able to, like,
no, have the crack. Yeah.
It's true, but it's the truth though. Like,
yeah, no,
you know,
what would you do it if you're not having,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like,
and even,
junior hurling in,
yeah,
my club particularly is very much about playing a bit of hurling and being with
the
lads.
There's a big drop out rate in male sports, team sports, I'd say like 18, 19. Yeah. And then like for girls, it's like fucking 3 or 4 years
it's,
younger.
It's,
like,
it's 16, I think, is generally the drop at age.
16 is a massive drop out.
Total interest in.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's actually shit. Really, yeah. It's just shit.
I suppose with girls as well, it's probably a much larger domino effect as well, because like as soon as
you're
two
best,
or three leave,
yeah,
then
yeah.
fucking everyone grew up.
Everyone else
might as well leave as well. Like
I know Waterpark girls had like a team there for like 2 years, and they went all the way to the Munster final and they lost, and then that was on her 16, maybe her 17, and then like two or three of their kind of top players left, and all of a sudden they're kind of going like. Without them fucking driving us on.
When you think about it, like, it makes you appreciate fucking elite sports people who've like travelled to a different country.
Absolutely.
Lived on their own and stuff.
Different language, everything. Like, you know.
Well,
yeah.
you take for, like, there's this fella, Louis Barry's name, and he's played for West Brom up until he was 15, and Barcelona signed him. And he went across, and like, one of the best footballers in La Masia, like, serious, everything. But because he just couldn't get
to Villa now, isn't he?
He's gone back to Aston Villa because when he went over, he just.
It's called complete culture change.
Total.
Right?
Like at 15 or 16, you couldn't imagine moving abroad on like pretty much on your own. And like you're playing football, it's something you love every day, but at the same time, he doesn't have Spanish. Mm. You know, and the lads he's playing with are all. Do you know what I mean? Like, like 80% of his team. 80% of his team are speaking Spanish, and he's there like this fucking West Bromwich Albion fucking player. Like, you know? So he's after coming back because he just couldn't.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for him because supposedly now.
He's happier though, is he?
He is happier, but at the same time, like, you want everyone to have the chance to play for Barcelona. Like, it's. You couldn't.
He
you could
like he might
sure he's
that
good he will
yeah but apparently unbelievable footballer in every aspect
yeah.
like just technically and his
except
his,
in Spanish
except in Spanish yeah. yeah his ability in Spanish is
poor yeah
but you know just couldn't get the click of Spanish people or
they should
you know what I mean.
They should try and incorporate that into FIFA and the PlayStation like fucking capacity
a
to learn a language
or something
yeah. I think that's probably why you find, like, say, Tommy Owen, myself, are turning 30 this year. And that's probably why, at our age, you get this massive drive back towards, like, squash and five-a-side. You have massive push back to that stuff. It's probably part as well, like, say, Tommy, like, you moved abroad for a couple of years and stuff like that. So, like, your core base of mates will, like, spread out all over the world. And it's when people start filtering back towards home for various reasons or whatever. Then there's probably like that kind of thing of I'll go play with my mates again. Like fuck this, going training 3 nights a week with a bunch of lads who, you know, I don't know that well or whatever. And then you've got this like I can just fucking go
it's
and play five side like buddies
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
And then like we did like, you know, right, you're not drinking tonight because you're driving, but say like go for a game of squash and go for a pint and a chat and a catch up afterwards. Like I think there's an awful lot of sport is really good for your mental health, but part of the socialising and having a connection with the person you're playing with as well.
Like
I think you can't fucking.
There's nothing better than
value on that. Like
going training, like and like doing pre-season. Right, I say it's probably the worst time of the year for a lot of athletes playing hurling, football, soccer, whatever it is you're doing. Like it's a horrible time of the year. You're here and it's fucking shitty, windy nights and wet and it's cold. Then you look around and you see like, well, like DJ, like you're doing the same effort. You're putting in the effort, even though you're 8 years older than me. You're there and you're fucking like, you want it as much as I do. And then I'm looking at you and you're the same and you're the same. Like there's that factor too when you're building this like.
That never build a relationship as strong as going through puberty
no,
at the same time.
I know.
So that's why you're a child of
mine. I agree with you. Like there's a year or two of play junior, like you're training with the Mossies and they're far older than I am. But at the same time they're
that's
doing it because
the
they're working hard, they want to fucking like they're trying to build the core within that team, even though we're definitely not the best junior team of all.
You're going to have to get Mossy on this podcast.
I mean,
I'll ring him,
yeah.
More
stories.
You'd be glassed by the end of the intro.
I think as well, though, another factor is, and it's along the same lines as well, is that, and like, as you were saying, when you're growing up and you have the same young lads, and, you know, you were saying that, you're you're going training with them, then you're meeting the boys in school as well, you're going off on field trips. So there's also that kind of external socializing outside the team. Whereas I find like a lot of like team-based sports, like we had, even our five-a-side team, right, had that, I think that five-a-side team has been going for 13 years and their first night out was last Monday week. Like, and like, you know, and like, you know, there's, I think there's definitely should be something said for it. It's like, we had a great night that night with it. And like, you know, like there should be more of that, like socializing outside of it, that like, well, definitely for more actual official team-based sports. Like, you
I
know,
suppose a lot of them lads are like stuff, fucking like, you know, late 30s, early 40s as well. Have young kids and stuff, so it's hard to justify to the missus, like, offering him ball and then him points afterwards.
I know, but like, even say, so let's take, say, fucking Ballygun or Hurling or whatever, right? There's definitely going to be like a group of young lads who don't have those commitments, right?
Yeah.
And who could go out after every.
The biggest problem with Ballygun Hurling and every other hurling and football club in the country, though, is the fucking drink culture in GAA, where drink banned for 6 months and then everyone goes off and
binge,
it's fucking
binge
wired
for 2 or 3 weeks. Like,
That's a separate fucking topic altogether. The relationship with alcohol and GAA is fucking chronically bad.
Yeah. Like, people go off then fucking traveling or go off because they're just fucking sick of that culture. Yeah.
I'd say the amount of people that have gone traveling the last like 2-3 years, senior panel in Ballygun, because they literally need to get out of water.
Yeah, I think they were saying
that. Ballygun and go to fucking Thailand or the Philippines, Vietnam, and like just.
I read an article this week that said that this winter has been the highest dropout rate for senior county footballers.
It's a good article if anyone wants to read it. And off the ball, they broke down every county, reasons why, and everything.
Really?
Crazy,
Waterford's
heaps. I think Waterford's one of the highest.
Oh, really?
Just lads from traveling.
But like, whether he actually wanted it enough. Fuck's sake, like. Seriously, though.
Yeah,
sure. Seriously, like, I mean. Anyway,
lads, you know the crack anyway. We've got a Patreon page if you're willing to give us the price of a cup of coffee or a pint. You want www.patreon.com/Snowcast. And social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Snowcast and all them. You know where to find us. Engage. We're a bit quiet over Christmas, but for luck.
Back
with a bang.
Mochi, black and tan.
Waiting for you.
Yeah. Fucking wait till you hear Tommy Kyrie on the Snowcast again, January 2021.
Get the legal team ready.
Yeah. Chucky or law.
Right, good luck. Bye.
Slog. Stay away from yourselves.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.